Okay, so this is where we get to the good part. Now, I'm a web developer. I love writing games for the web, and I love the fact of being able to just send someone to a URL and have them play one of my fantastic Yeti games. But there's some drawbacks to developing for the web. There's definitely some things that you have advantage of writing a native application than you do for the web. So I am happy to show you today one of the advancements we have in Windows 8 is you can write native applications with JavaScript and HTML5. So you can take that game that you just developed for the web and you can port it over to a Windows 8 store app, which means you can monetize it in the store. Your users can run it locally right off their machine as they would any other native application. And you also have access to a whole slew of Windows APIs that allows you to do things that you can't do on the web. So we're going to do that. And I'm going to convert this in. Go ahead.
When you say native, what do you mean by native? Is it compiled into something the machine can understand more? Do you have some sort of translation layer? Like, is it just starting to be an Explorer engine?
That's a great question. The question was, what do I mean by native? And so I'm using native, I guess, more as a marketing term, because what I really mean is a store app, is an app from a consumer's perspective that they download and run off their system locally. It is still JavaScript. And in essence, what it is we're going to take the rendering engine from IE10 and the JavaScript engine from IE10, and we're going to run it in its own instance. So it's not going to open up in a browser. It's going to run a full HTML5 environment just like it was in a browser, except it's going to be a standalone application, which means it'll get memory managed by the OS and all the great things that a application gets that you don't have in the browser. Go ahead.
Windows 8 to build a Windows Store app?
Do I need Windows 8 to build a Windows Store app? Yes, you do. So you need to be running Visual Studio 2012, has system requirement of Windows 8, and you need to be able to run it either locally on your computer or on a virtual machine. If you're doing games, you're probably going to need to run it locally. So that is definitely, you can't run it on a Windows 7 machine to build Windows 8 games. You do need Windows 8. Okay, so what we're going to do is I'm going to start out and let me show you. This is just like a magician, right? Because I'm going to show you just to make sure I'm not hiding anything. I'm going to run this with Internet Explorer. This is the game that we just played at the beginning, right? So this is the same file here. Knocking my hikers off the mountain. My snowball. Not that today. I could probably just do that for 50 minutes and you guys would love it, huh? Okay.
So full 4 hours.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this code. I'm just going to select all of it and copy it, and then I'm going to bring open Visual Studio 2012, and this is Visual Studio Express for Windows 8, okay? So the tool I was using before was actually Visual Studio Express for web. They're both free to download for developers, and they're both amazing IDEs. So for being able to do JavaScript, remote debugging, you have all of your Visual Studio's tools connected right to your browser when you run it this way. And it's even better inside of Windows 8, because inside of Windows 8, I can actually do remote deploys with Visual Studio to my devices and stuff like that. It's really easy. It's a pleasure to work with. And they're free. So this is Visual Studio for Windows 8. Visual Studio Express for Windows 8. And start over here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to just do a new project, and then inside of here we've got a couple options as to what language you're going to write with. Now when you're writing a Windows 8 app, we wanted to make sure that you could write in the language that you're most comfortable with. So if you're a JavaScript developer, I don't want you to have to learn C# and be able to write apps for Windows 8. So if you're a JavaScript developer, write your apps in JavaScript. If you're a C-sharp developer, write your apps in C-sharp. If you're C++, write them in C++. So you bring your own language, basically, to Windows 8 to write your apps. In this case, we're using JavaScript. And I'm going to start out and just do a blank app. And I'll call this My Cool Yeti Game. Hit OK. Okay, so I basically start out with a blank slate here. Now there's some content that's pre-populated. If I were to run this app right now, it's just going to open up a blank window for me. You can see. And this should be, if you've written JavaScript before, this should be a pretty familiar environment. Because what I have here is I have CSS files, images, JavaScript files, and an HTML file. So my base file is called default.html, and it has references to a JavaScript library that we provide with Windows apps called WinJS. You can write your apps with WinJS. You can write them with another library if there's another one that you're more used to or you have code invested in, or you can mix them together. They will easily run together as well. In this case, what I want to do is I'm actually going to take that code that I have and I'm going to paste it inside of here. So it's going to go ahead and paste the CSS, the JavaScript, images, and HTML files that I had just ran on the web. And then I'm going to go in here into my manifest file, and I'm going to change the start page. So by default, it uses default.html. It's ironically named, right? I'm going to change that to the file I just put in there, which is game.html, and save that, and then run it. And now that same game that I had on the web is right here as an app. So the same code, same sound effects that I had running in the browser, we have running as an app now. So this app is going to live on the user system. You can distribute this, you can sell it through the Windows Store, and you again have access to all of the APIs that you would normally have access to in the Windows environment. So it's a really great way to use the code that you've already invested in, the skills that you've already invested in, to write your apps for Windows 8. Good question.
It's something like where in XNA you can build a Windows 7 phone app, I think. Would that be like backward compatible? So would that work with Windows 8 like products, or is that only for Windows 7?
So if you have, so you're talking about for like a Windows Phone 7 app?
Yeah, like the XNA offers the game for Windows 7 phones with XNA, but it doesn't offer Windows 8.
So Andrew, do you know about the XNA support in Windows 8?
It does work. It'll work on Windows 8.
Yeah.
And make Windows 8 games.
Right. Not that it really makes a difference, yeah. But yeah, you have to export it for Windows Phone 7.
It'll work on Windows 8.
And so let's be clear, we define there's Windows Phone 8 and then there's Windows 8, right? Yeah. So Windows Phone 8 will run Windows Phone 7 apps. Windows 8 does not run Windows Phone apps.
Yeah, right.
So, for more than that, I'll be happy to find that information out for you, but I wouldn't feel comfortable giving you an answer because it would most likely be wrong, and I don't like to give out wrong answers. So. So we've got our native application. Now there's a couple more things that I want to do, and for the next 20 minutes or so, I'm going to kind of focus on the things that you need to do to your app in order to get it ready for the store. Okay. After that, we're going to go and we're going to talk about some really cool stuff that you can do with it to make it an even better app than it was on the web. But for now, we're going to kind of focus on those things that we need to do. So the first thing that I'm going to do in here is I'm going to go back to this manifest file, And I want to make sure that I've got an appropriate splash screen for when it starts. I want to make sure that I have the right size tiles, so whenever the user sees it pinned to their start screen, it'll have the right tile image and things like that. So that's where I'm going to make those changes inside of my manifest. So I'm going to leave it with the Cool Yeti game name. I think that's a great name. For the description, this is where you would put the game description. If you wanted to support particular resolutions, you can do that. Landscape, portrait, landscape, flip. In this case, I don't want to limit my user. I want to let them use it however they want to hold their device. For logos, I've already got those set up in here. So I'm going to add those to my manifest here. I have a logo, and then I've got the wide logo. So these are going to be my tiles. And they've got a small logo so that when it appears in a list, sized right. If I want to give it a short name, I can decide whether it shows the names on all the logos or none of them. Let's say logos. Change foreground color, things like that. The last thing I'm going to do is choose a new splash screen. Hit save. Now you're going to see a different experience when you load it up here. Let's go ahead and run this. Okay, so the first thing that I saw was a splash screen while it loaded its assets, and there's not a lot of them, so it's going to load pretty quick. And I've got my game playing here. Now I'm going to go ahead and stop this. And look what I have here on my start menu. I can see the assets that I had put into the manifest. So here is my large logo. If I then choose a smaller one, you'll see it here. If I'm doing a search, you'll see my Cool Yeti game logo there. So with just a couple changes, I've been able to just dump that code in there and have it look and act like a native application in Windows 8.
How would live tiles work if you wanted to have updated logos?
Yes, we're going to talk about live tiles in a bit, but you absolutely can do live tiles in this. Generally, anything that you can do with a Windows 8 app in any other language, you can do with JavaScript. So it's very flexible environment for developers like us. Okay. So it is important whenever you're building your game. Question before we go on.
Is it possible to debug from within Visual Studio, or do you still have to use a browser?
No, absolutely you can debug Visual Studio. In fact, there's some additional tools that you have for doing things like performance analysis inside of Visual Studio that just can't be done with inside a browser. So since you have that controlled environment, yeah. And I'll try to remember to kind of show you some of those at the end. Okay, so when you're making that move and you take your game to port it over to the Windows 8 environment, you want to make sure that, first of all, that you do have all of your images set. So you're going to need to have a wide tile, a small tile, the icon, splash screen, those type of things. Because if you're trying to port it to the store, if you use the standard box with an X in it, it's probably not going to pass the certification. So we want to make sure that you're giving your users a custom experience. And that's kind of one of the reasons why we put that X in the box. So hopefully developers will know that they need to update that. But all of that stuff is handled within the manifest. So you have your JavaScript and your HTML which runs all of your game logic, and then the details about how that game is going to appear within the operating system or within the store itself is all handled through the manifest. Then we'll talk a little bit later too about some of the other features of the manifest that you'll use to control your app. But this is where you're going to set your name and your logos and things like that. Now, another important part of supporting your game is making sure that it's going to work in all the modes. Now, since we've moved to Windows 8, I'm actually going to show you another version of this Yeti game where we kind of took it to the next level. And build it out for Windows games. So this is kind of the next level of the Yeti Bowl game. And what we've done here is we're giving you a little bit of control to be able to personalize the game experience. So, of course, I can play the game just as I had before. And you'll notice my hikers look a little bit different. My Yeti looks a little different. What I've actually been able to do is personalize how the Yeti's going to appear. We're going to pull the user's picture from their profile and make them the Yeti, and then we're going to let them choose from their contacts who each of the hikers are. So go back to the main menu there, and we have a separate page for our hikers, and as you can see, I've got some fantastic hikers there that it just happened to be that Andy was one of those hikers. It's no coincidence at all, I'm sure. But it allows us to make a new hiker. We can give him a name, and then the cool part is I can set a photo. And in this case, I can either choose a photo that I have stored on my drive, or I can select from one of my contacts. So in this case, it's going to open up my contacts, see the list, and I can choose a random person there and make them one of the hikers. And then the game will mix these hikers in with all the other hikers of the game. Can also open up a different page here, and it's going to let me customize my Yeti. So here it's automatically pulling the profile picture that I have set on this machine. If I want to change that and use a different picture, I can do that as well, again selecting from the contacts or selecting from my files. So inside of the Yeti game here, we had to kind of set up a structure to it, because we don't want everything to be done on one page. I don't want to have to add all of these controls on top of my game. I want to have my game experience be one thing, and then I want to have my setup experience be another. Let's see here. Now, one of the other things that is important is that your game works in the different modes. In this case, I want to make sure that I am able to support what is called snap mode, and this is where a user is going to put your app into a small section of the screen, or it can be, get a better app here, or it can be fill mode, where it's using the majority of the screen, but there's another app pinned to it, or open that up in full. So you need to make sure that your game supports each of those. Now, one thing that you noticed is that whenever we did the snap mode, I kind of felt like this was going to be a really tough game to play on just the side of the screen. So instead, we're actually providing a little bit of a different experience for the users here. So when they're in snap mode, they can see their high score. So the number of hikers that I've killed, the highest score, and see the hikers with the most kills on them and things of that time, the number of times that they've reached the summit. So it kind of gives me a stats whenever it's in that mode. But it's very important, again, to be able to see your game accepted into the store. You want to make sure that you're planning for this, that you are have an experience for your users. Now, in this case, again, we're using CSS for this. Just like we did when we were looking at orientation, for In this case, I'm using a media query to be able to identify, and this is something that is available to you when you're inside of a Windows 8 app. I can say, when you're in snap mode, run this CSS, which might be hide this particular content and show this content. When you're in full mode, show use this CSS.
Since you have all these different features that would only be in the Windows 8 app version, could you possibly make different parts in different languages? For example, could you make the base game in CSS and JavaScript and HTML, and then for the add-ons, make it in C# or something?
Yes, so you can mix languages for sure. Generally, you need to choose one display control language. So if you're going to be using HTML for your display controls, then you can bring in components for C#, components for C++, but anything that display, you're going to want to use the language that you're coding your view in. So in this case, like for example with snap mode, I would definitely want to control that with CSS, since that's what I'm using for my other displays.
And any time you mix technologies, which is completely doable, you could do C++, write some C# components, you know, have HTML, but anytime you mix technologies, you're going to have to be very careful of performance hits and things like that, with the transitions between them. But you can do like embed like an HTML5 canvas element on a XAML.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so in addition to using the CSS to control the view, you may also have different functionality that you want to run while you're in one mode or another. So this is a place where you can actually query one of the Windows APIs, and this is view management, to be able to determine which state you're in. So in this case, I'm getting the view states and then the new view state, and I'm determining whether I'm in snap mode or not. So that way, if I'm in snap mode, I know to run this code, and I can also use it to determine that I'm in full or filled mode as well. So I have control over not only the way it looks, but the way that the game runs as well.
And this code, is there like an event that's fired when it's resized?
There is, okay. Yes. I don't know what that is. But there is, yes, there is a view change. Okay, now one of the things that you get when you are inside of a Windows 8 app is we do include a library called WinJS. And WinJS is really good at handling the things like transitions, templating, those type of things inside of Windows 8 apps. It's very optimized for this experience. WinJS is not available inside the browser. It only runs inside of the Windows app and has some dependencies there. And so what we're going to do, or what we've done with this game, is we're using WinJS to handle all of our navigation. So the state management is all done with WinJS. And it's going to handle not only the navigation, but then creating the back button and determining what the back button does and things of that sort as well. So our game structure was pretty simple. We had our main game page, we had our main home page, and then we had the game where we linked off to play the game, and then a game where we linked off to create our hikers or create our Yeti there. So let's just, I'm going to open up a new window here and show you what that's going to be like. Because we have a template built into Visual Studio 2012 that sets up our navigation app for us. So I'm going to do a new project here and then do a navigation app. And then when I run this, I basically have some additional assets created. So like any app, I'm going to have a default.html file created, a default.js file created, and a default.css file created. So anytime I navigate to a page, that JavaScript file is going to be ran. So when I navigate to default, when I load up the page, it's going to run default.js. Now additionally, we have a new section here called Pages, and inside of there, it's going to create the different pages that we're going to be navigating to and from. Every time it creates a page, it's going to also create a new JavaScript and a new CSS file for that. So inside of pages here, if I was going to add a new page for our app, actually first thing I'm going to do is add a new folder. We'll call it test. Then inside of that new folder, I'm going to add a new item. Now inside of here, I can add a page control. So a page control is going to automatically generate that new JavaScript and that new CSS file for me, as well as some navigation logic. So inside here, I have page control. It says content goes here, is inside of there. And inside of home.html that was already created, it says content goes here. Now let's look back at the default.html page. Inside the default.html page, we have one div inside of this body. And all this has in it is a data value called data-win-control, and then some options pasted into it. And if you notice, the options has a value called home, pointing to that home page. So when we run this, what's going to happen with our navigation app is it's going to go pull all the content from home.html and stick it inside of default.html. Okay? So to make sure we're clear on this, what's going to happen is we're not going to have page refreshes inside of this app. You're not going to have a user who's going to refresh the page and go from one page to the next page. It's all going to be built into a single page application. But Windows 8, when you use WinJS, it's going to take care of all of that for you. So all you're going to do is create these new page controls. And then the page control is going to have the HTML, the CSS, and the JavaScript that gets injected into your page when you navigate to it. So it's going to pull all of the HTML inside of the body tag and inject it into your body tag. It's going to take all of the CSS from your header and inject it in, and the JavaScript from your header and inject it in as well. And it's also going to make sure that you don't duplicate and load the same assets twice. So for example here, every page is going to have a link to the WinJS JavaScript and the UI.js JavaScript. Just because it's on every page doesn't mean it's going to get reloaded every time you create a new page. It'll manage that for you. If it needs to load a JavaScript file that's declared in your header of your new page, it'll load it in. If it's already got it loaded, it doesn't need to load it in. So in addition to doing that code injection, it also adds the back button for you, so that when your user hits back, it then goes and regenerates the last page that you had. So that's when we're in our app, that's how we're able to create this menu system, where when I go in to edit a hiker, Windows 8 is tracking what this back button should do. So it's regenerated that page and put the back button there, so it knows whenever I hit that, go and create a new one. And you can see it's not going to do a page refresh in between. It's just going to inject that content, and every time I hit the back button, it's going to keep track of that state for me, so I don't need to do it. So it's a very nice tool to have when you're building these libraries, or when you're building these applications. Now, one thing that I like to do to make it easy is I like to use anchor tags, because anchor tags are something that's very traditional inside of HTML page. But your anchor tag also needs to work well with the page template. So what I'm doing here is inside of my default.html file, my default.js file, which is the file that gets loaded initially on the page, I have this section of code. And this is basically an override to all the anchor tags that says when an anchor tag is clicked, the first thing I do is I prevent the default, so it doesn't try to load that page from the internet. And I then take the target from that anchor tag and I pass it into this one method called winjs.navigation.navigate. And as soon as you pass in a page reference to that, then the app will automatically navigate to that new page and set up the back button for you. So it's a very simple way. And now all I have to do now is create anchor tags that have a href pointing to the page that I want it to navigate to, and WinJS will do the rest. It'll run this so that anytime I click on an anchor tag, it takes that href and passes it into this navigation function so that I navigate to the new page and the back button is automatically set up for me. So when you create a new page, like I created test.html, it went and created test.js for me. And inside of test.js, it automatically generates this code for you as well. And what this does is it defines the page. So it knows that this is home.html. And whenever I declare that I want to go to home.html, it knows where to find it. So it declares it as a page that can be navigated to. And then what goes inside of this ready function is what code I want to run when the user navigates to that page. So it's going to handle that instead of you needing to program that into your code. It knows as soon as your user navigates to the new page, it's going to evaluate any of the JavaScript that you put inside of this ready function, inside your object. And again, this code is generated for you. You're able to just plug in the code that you want to run. So if this is where I want to fire the init to start the game, this would be a good place to do it. Okay, so data binding. When you have items that you're trying to manage in your application, WinJS provides a good way for you to be able to manage that data. So in this case, I'm going to use winjs.binding.list. And I'm going to take an array of data objects, and I'm going to pass them into this method and create a new list. Now what I've done here is the page where I go and navigate to the hikers, I've got a whole list of elements here, and I need to be able to manage this data and store it. Because for every hiker I've created, I've defined a name, I've defined the picture from the contact that I've chosen to, and I've defined a color for it. So I want to be able to manage those inside of a data object that I can then reference. I don't want to have the data be destroyed every time the user closes the app. So I'm storing that as a local array, and then when I generate this page, the first thing that I do is inside of my ready function, I evaluate this array and store it as a list. And then I define it so that it's publicly accessible. Now, when we had built our game originally, we used JavaScript and wrote it all within the window namespace so that anytime I declared a variable, it was accessible anywhere in my code. Inside of a Windows 8 app, one of the things that we like you to do and we'll do for you when you build a navigation app is we'll encapsulate your code inside of blind functions, basically. So that way you don't have collision between variables if you're reusing a variable from one space to another. But that's a really great thing, but what it makes is it makes those variables not accessible outside of that function. So namespace is a way for us to be able to define a namespace within the window that we can then reference anywhere. Okay, and whenever we start to put together these templates, you'll see why that's important. Because in a template, we need to be able to reference this data list that we've just created inside of the template. So I'm going to define it to a data hikers namespace here. And in a moment, I'm going to show you a simple version of this as well that I think will help make it a little clearer. And then I'm going to use a list view to generate this list for my data. Okay, let me stop here and pull up a sample. All right, so I have a very simple version of this starting out. And the first thing I have is an array. So my array has data objects inside of it. So inside of it, it has four data objects, and each of them have one property called name. Okay, so it's a very simple data object. And this is something that I can have stored inside of a JavaScript file, or I can pull this out of the memory of my application. But in this case, I have it right inside the JavaScript file. And then I'm creating a new list with it. So this is where I'm using the WinJS binding list, and I'm passing in this object to it. So now I can reference that as data list. And it's going to have all of the setters and getters associated with it. Now I'm going to create a new object and assign it as an item list. So that way it'll be, it'll match the structure it needs to create a template with it, and I'll show you that in a minute. So I have my item list, which I'm going to put in a public namespace called my friend list. Okay, so this is a couple lines of code that turns my data object here into a publicly accessible WinJS binding list. Now, what I'm going to do is back in my code here, I have some very simple things. So first of all, I've got a template, which is just markup. And inside of that markup, it obviously has an ID, and it has a data value called win-data-control that's defining it as a template. Okay? So all I'm saying is I'm adding this extra value that says, hey, this HTML, you actually are going to use it as a template. So it knows not to render it on the page and use that ID to reference as a template. Inside of it, I have some text that says, hello, I have a friend named, and then the span, I'm identifying that I want the inner text of that span to be set to name. So you can imagine what's going to happen here. We have this list and a template, and we're going to bind them together. And so for every data object inside of that list, it's going to use this template to create a line of markup, which then has the associated data with it. Now, what I have down here is the target for where I want to render that template. So this is the markup it's using as the template. Here is the location where we're going to render the template out, and we're also assigning this to a UI list view so it knows it's UI list view, and we're passing in options which references that data source that I made public. Okay, so the myfriendlist.listItem.dataSource is what I just set up in my JavaScript to be publicly accessible. And then I'm telling it which template to use, which is the ID of the content right above. So when I render this, it's going to dynamically generate that code for me, and it's going to say, hello, I have a friend name, and go through my data object and display each of those. Okay, so that's a really simple example, but you can see as you need to generate list of things that you don't want to have to manage in markup, it's a lot easier to manage them as JavaScript objects and then use the templates to generate the markup. Now what we've done for our hiker list, we have a little bit of a more complex template, but same pattern. We're going to define the template. You can have the markup as complicated or as simple as you want. And in this case, we have a div, we have images inside of it that we need to reference, because we're going to reference the face data and we're going to tell it what color it's going to be. So the body is going to change image references depending on what color it's going to be. And then the title of it as well, what we've named this hiker. So this is the template. So this is the code that it's going to pull out of the page and generate based off of this. So this isn't actually going to be displayed to the user, it's going to use this markup to generate the list. Now one very important thing here is there's a method that we have to call to tell our app it's time to generate that markup. And that's called processAll. Okay, so winjs.ui.processAll. Now this is something that's going to be fired whenever your page first loads up. It's in the default.js file to fire this. If you need to fire it along the way, you can also call this whenever you navigate from one page to another to tell it it's time to take that markup I've defined as a template and bind it to that data list that I provided. So that way there's no flash of content where you're seeing the template. It all happens at once and generates it into your page instead of doing it section by section. But this is very important. If you don't call process all, then it's not going to be generated. Get that. So this is basically how our template, what it creates. It had a body, it had a face, and it had a title inside of that div. The body and the face were two images. The title was a little text box. And when it generates the list, it uses a different image for the face, a different image for the body, and then injects the name in. Okay, one other important thing is an app bar. So your app bar appears at the bottom of every app. And this is another point of consistency for us. Whenever you are in a Windows app, we want the controls to be consistent for a user. So if you have controls, in this case, adding a new hiker, you want to make sure that that appears in the app bar. So that way the user knows no matter what page I'm on, no matter what app I'm in, I want to be able to go to my app bar to get to the controls. This is also very easy to do. The app bar, generally in an application, when you bring up a blank app, this is injected into the HTML, it's just commented out. But you add an extra div, and the extra div has the data value of data-win-controls, but this time it's defined as a winjs.ui.appbar. And that will generate the app bar for you. It'll generate the functionality of knowing when to show and when to hide. All you have to do is put your icons inside of it. So in this case, we have the app bar and then we have a button inside of it. And if you use the data-win controls, you can have it create the icon and the text and the CSS and everything for it. So you're using the controls here and it'll do all the creation to make sure that all of your icons match up and look the same and are the right size. In this case, we pass in an ID, the label, and the icon that we want it to use. And it'll create that button with that ID. Once you have that, you go into your JavaScript and you can add an event listener to it. So you pass in the ID whenever you're creating it and that'll add an ID to it. Go into your JavaScript, add an event listener so that when they click on that button, you then run the logic that is attached to that in the event. Just like you would with any other HTML. Question?
Max, why is ID passed in the data win options? Why is there a reason not to just use the HTML ID attribute?
If you were using a template, you could definitely do that. Because in a template, you can generate any attributes you want. In this case, you're telling the button when you run process all, it's going to turn that button into a control. So that's why you have to reference it as a value instead. So you pass it in as a value for it when it creates the control. So basically that process all doesn't actually use the markup on your page. It uses the markup on your page to then turn around and generate the actual markup, or the actual element on the page. So, but once it's created, it's just like any other HTML that you would want. So fairly easy for there. So you've got to have some of those base components built out for your application. But in essence, your game is the game that you wrote for the web is the game that you can submit to the store. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to take a break. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some nice features that you can use from the Windows API to add some extra special controls to your game. And we'll also talk about some game frameworks and things like that that you might be able to use to get jump started on your work. So let's take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come and finish it up.